In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, let there be light. And where there is sadness, joy. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. That song was written by Robert Edwin, a folk singer friend of mine I met in Chicago back in the 60s. Many of you probably recognize the text by Francis of Assisi, and it's a fitting prelude to the ministry of food for the poor that I want to talk to you about today. I'm privileged to be part of that ministry. And I'm privileged to be here at St. Mark's in Ohio, Chesterland, Ohio today, even though it was last minute. When I got the assignment, when I heard about it, my wife said to me, "No, you're not going to do that." And then she found out that it was in Ohio. And she said, "Oh, it's around Cleveland. Okay." See, I was pastor in Gloria Day Hudson for a number of years in the late 90s into the first part of this century. And we both have fond memories of Ohio. And when I was there, the Indians were good, so they're good again now. And I'm saying that as a Yankee fan, and Mark said I'm going to get booed. That's okay. You should see what my congregation of Gloria Day did to me. And you were in the World Series then, too, during those years. So maybe you will this again, and Jose Mesa won't mess up for you this time. And you'll win. My wife also was a hospice nurse, and she took care of LeBron James' grandmother during our last year there. He was still in high school. He was becoming LeBron James, so we have a little connection there too. So, and we love this area, and we love Northeast Ohio, and it's good to be here with you today, and to see the significant ministries that are going on too, both in your congregation, and Mark and Jack, you're telling me all about your ministry to Haiti, and the ministry you have in El Salvador, where I've been. Our daughter Mary was a medical officer with the Peace Corps in El Salvador for 3 years. I've had a special heart for that country for many years through some Benedictine monks who are friends of mine in Vermont who have cared for people there for many years. So it's good to be here at St. Mark's. It's good to be here in Northeast Ohio. I'd like to turn now and have you meet 9-month-old Isma. She weighs just 8 pounds. An average baby girl her age weighs almost 11 pounds. While this might not seem like a big difference to you, to a young child like Isma, struggling to survive severe malnutrition, every ounce can be a matter of life and of death. Hunger is a constant at Isma's home in a poor slum in Haiti. Isma often goes without food. Her mother, Marie, struggles every day to find enough food for her to eat. Yesterday I found something to give her. Banana soup, Marie said. A spoonful. Marie may also eventually give Isma some of these, called Haitian cookies. Have you ever seen these, Mark? Probably have. Children actually eat these. Adults, they're made of dirt, bouillon, little sand. Pregnant women especially eat them, supposedly for good luck. Isma is surviving on hope and her mother's desperate prayers. Marie has only faith, no job, no support from the husband who left her, constant fear of marauding gangs. A spoonful of banana soup isn't enough to squelch Isma's pitiful cries from hunger. Her mother tries to comfort Isma and her siblings when they cry because they don't have enough food. Marie said, "I have to manage for everyone, so everyone gets a spoonful of banana soup. When they all start to cry, I cry as well. I thank God every time I have something to give to my children to eat. I don't eat. I give whatever I have to my children." From the desperate plight of Marie and Isma, we turn to today's gospel. And I can see why Pastor Bauck switched it to the one that you had in your bulletin, because that's a much better message to hear and connected also to food for the poor, healing of the lepers. You're going to hear that again, by the way, coming up, I believe, in October. I looked at the lectionary and saw the gospel that you heard read. And it's not particularly the words I wanted to read in preparation for an assignment I just received at the last minute or any time. What difficult words. Jesus says, "I came to bring fire to the earth." He echoes Jeremiah in the traditional first reading for this Sunday. "Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" Where are their words of comfort here? Where's the soft-spoken Jesus that we've all known and become to love? Where's the gospel? Difficult words indeed, especially for a speaker for food for the poor. But God's whole word, which I'm committed to preach, is like a hammer. It struck down proud Pharaoh and all his forces that enslaved God's people. Through Moses' mouth, it hammered a path through the wilderness so that newly freed slaves could begin to taste the honey milk freedom of God's children. Through the mouths of the prophets, it hammered away at the proud, stubborn hearts and stony foreheads of God's people, who, while maintaining the outward pomp of liturgical service, refused to treat their poor brothers and sisters with compassionate justice. In the mouth of a humble and strong Nazarene carpenter, God's word hammered away, breaking down the pompous religiosity of those who sought to alienate tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners from God's table. God's word was a hammer of justice to call attention to the plight of the poor. This word, like a judge's gavel, crashed down God's verdict one Friday afternoon, when amidst blood and thorns, a dying man shouted, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, and absolved an entire world. A few days later, on a spring morning, in the dewy silence of a garden, God's word hammered down death and destruction as an angel cried out, "He is risen." God's word, like a hammer, demolished the barriers between Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female, as God called all these children of God born of the Spirit. Today again, the divine hammer continues its eternal work. It levels our pride, destroys our selfishness, and smashes our guilt. God's word, like a hammer, shatters the idols we've made as we fashion God into our own image. God's word crashes, smashes, levels, and pulverizes with the truth. Yes, it's often painful, but it's necessary for new life and the recreation of our lives in the world. Sometimes God's hammer hits close to home. It divides us from our loved ones who refuse to believe. But it also builds. God's word, like a hammer, builds a new creation, a new family, not built on the idols of our high and haughty ways, but upon love for God and for each other. Love that transcends human boundaries of family and friends. God's love is also like a fire, starting as a little spark, leaping down from heaven into the womb of a faith-filled girl from Nazareth. It flickered and it grew one cold winter night as it inflamed a little manger in a sleepy town. The little flame enlightened the tanned, weather-beaten faces of stunned shepherds and the furrowed brows of sages bearing gifts. God's love spread like wildfire over the Judean hills and the Galilean Sea. As the lame were healed, the blind received their sight, and the dead were raised. But the flame grew dim one Friday afternoon as the sky itself grew dark as night. It seemed as if human hatred and insolence had finally suffocated God's flame of love as a bruised, beaten, and bloody body hung on a cross. But at that moment, under those dark skies over Golgotha, the fire of God's love kindled the earth. It burned away hypocrisy, revealing the insanity of the quest for personal power and the foolishness of human pride. It burned away personal sin and guilt. God's love, like a fire. Death and grave were no longer dark places, for the flame of God's love descended over there in triumph. Then the flame burst forth from the garden tomb, and God's undying love proved unconquerable. God's love, like a flame, descended once more, as the sound of a rushing wind filled a room and inflamed the hearts and warmed the tongues of once fearful followers and transformed them into preachers and prophets. God's love, a fire, has kindled the whole world. God's word like a hammer, God's love like a fire, comes again to you again today. The family of God here at St. Mark. It hammers and it inflames all of your ministries here in your community, those missions that you have in Haiti and in El Salvador. And it comes from me, a preacher from New Jersey with roots in Illinois, who once served near you in Hudson, Ohio, to touch your hearts with concern for Marie and Isma and others like them. To touch your hearts with a love for the poor, who Jesus loved so much. Now celebrating its 34th year of operation, Food for the Poor is an interdenominational Christian ministry, working primarily in 17 countries in the Caribbean and Latin America. By working with pastors, missionaries, partner organizations, clinics, and community leaders and churches in these regions, we ensure that aid reaches out to those who need it the most. And this is significant. It certainly was for me when I decided to serve them as a speaker. Fundraising and other administrative costs comprise less than 5% of our expenses. More than 95% of all donations go directly to programs that help the poor. I'd like to ask you to please take out that brochure that's in your bulletin today. I'd like to describe some possibilities with you. You turn to the middle of the brochure, the part where there's some monetary figures. I'd like to look at a few things and a few possibilities. Beginning on the top left, $3,200, or a pledge of $178 a month for 18 months, will provide a single unit home with sanitation for a needy family. Someone here today might be able to do that. Or it might be something you could do through an organization. You get a picture of the home and the family. And really, when you can consider it and how far it goes, a little goes a long way. $285 will provide a water pump for a village. As Mark and perhaps some of the rest of you know, that's so necessary in the communities and places in Latin America where the water is contaminated. Several weeks ago, I was in a church in Northern California, and their children's ministry got together after the second service and decided they wanted to, the children insisted they build or they send money for a water pump. It touched their hearts. $43.80 will feed a hungry child for an entire year. Such a small amount goes so far. $90 will provide one goat, which will sustain a family. There are other families offered through Food for the Poor, too. The goat is mentioned here. The next section there, a gift of just $34 a month will help sponsor a precious child in need, like 5-year-old Myson. You get a picture of the child, letters, and a special connection with a poor child in the Caribbean and in Latin America, Central America. Just a little goes so far. I would ask you today to prayerfully consider a gift to Food for the Poor and fill out the bottom of this form with your gift and then hand it to me at the door today. There won't be another offering. I'd ask you to fill out the envelope and hand it to me with your gift for Food for the Poor. And also consider the section on the top there in blue. They care about the poor, they also care about your prayers, your prayer needs. We've had some prayer needs in our family over the past year, and they will, believe me, pray for them. They have a number of prayer services during the week. We'll even call you up and pray with you over the phone if you'd like that. So don't overlook that either if you have a special prayer need. I know you have prayer ministries here, but I think it always helps when you have people praying for you all over the place. It certainly was for us with our family as we had a son-in-law dying of brain cancer. And so whatever the need is, put that down as well and then hand it to me at the door. What I'm talking about today is a matter of life and death. It's about reaching out to the people like Maria and Isma with the flame of God's love that I was talking about in my sermon with the children. Isma is now part of a Food for the Poor pediatric program in Haiti. Social workers and nurses at the clinic are doing the best they can to try and save her. Sitting at Food for the Poor's clinic, Marie clutches her baby. She talks about faith, her faith, about her life in the slum, the constant problem of finding enough to eat. She's already lost one child who died at age 4 from diarrhea. Marie now lives in constant fear of losing baby Isma as well. I pray every night. We pray together before we fall asleep. I pray to change our situation and make a better life for us. Family of God at St. Mark, once again today, through word and water, song and silence, the meal which you celebrate often, and the message, the flame of God's love spreads through you to the poor. In your ministries, your gifts for food for the poor, in your community, and in the world. God's word is like a hammer. God's love is like a fire. Comforting words indeed for those with ears to hear.